This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
And Senator Harris are the best choice to lead our country, and I am endorsing them to become president and vice president.
The Rock is just the best. Isn't he just one of the best out there? He really is. Hello, I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It's March 7th, 2024. We're live streaming on Rumble Locals and YouTube. We've got a community Q&A for you today. If you want to get some questions in on the fly, you can join us right now and help keep us independent. RubinReport.locals.com. Post-game show about 30 seconds after we end this live stream, as always, on Locals. And we're going to hit just a couple videos, a couple themes that I wanted to get to earlier in the week that didn't quite fit in everything else we were doing involving RFK, involving the World Economic Forum, and then perhaps the most sort of sellout moment that has ever happened on MSNBC, and that is hard to come by. Like, these people are sellouts, they are shameless, they lie about everything. But Joe Scarborough did something yesterday as they are preparing to run cover for Joe Biden tonight, because tonight is the State of the Union, and they know they have to pre-warn you about whatever his flubs and flummoxes and confusions are gonna be. But Joe Scarborough did something that was just like the height of dishonest, quote-unquote, journalism. So we will get to all of that and then your questions. But first, I want to read an ad for you that I'm actually incredibly psyched to be doing, because I've known this was coming for a long, long time. But Rumble has officially launched their cloud service. This is absolutely huge. This is in direct comparison, in direct competition, I should say, to Amazon AWS, which basically runs the internet, and now Rumble Cloud has an alternative for you. So guys, are you tired of getting a surprise when you see your cloud service bills every month? Well, our friends at Rumble have done it again. The new Rumble Cloud services are coming this spring. Rumble has built the cloud for the parallel economy. This disruptive Rumble Cloud pricing model will blow away big tech clouds with big savings and more predictable budgeting. And like Rumble Video, you don't have to worry about cancellation on Rumble Cloud. Remember what happened to Parler? Exclusively for friends of Rumble, sign up today at friends.rumble.cloud and receive 30% off the first 3 months of your cloud compute subscription, which will be available for purchase later this quarter. Rumble Cloud Services are the essential cloud services you need for any size business to innovate and grow. Head to friends.rumble.cloud and sign up today. And I just want to say real quick on that, this was one of the reasons ultimately that we merged with Rumble. That why we, I say we locals merged with Rumble, because we knew we were building that parallel economy. I could be kicked off YouTube any given day. I cannot be kicked off Locals. They can blow up websites with Amazon AWS. You're not gonna be able to do it with Rumble Cloud. And yeah, we've got problems, but we've also got some solutions. So I hope you'll check it out. Anyway, let's just dive into the first clip. So I wanna talk a bit about RFK and the WEF and the powers that be and all of that stuff. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., former Democrat, now independent, running for president. He was on Andrew Schultz's podcast a couple days ago, and they were talking about sort of who's worse. Is it the DNC or the RNC? And what are the tricks that he has now uncovered that the DNC was using against him, thus causing him to leave the party?
Who's more corrupt?
The DNC or the RNC?
Yeah.
I'd probably be equally corrupt, but I don't know. I don't even know how the metric by which you would measure that.
Well, okay.
But they're all, I mean, the DNC is really misbehaving. They're really trying to block people.
Yeah, they try to block you, right?
They try to block me. They try to block Trump, and I'm not a fan of Trump's, but I want to be on a level, you know, battlefield with him. I don't want to beat him because a court threw him out. I want to beat him because I'm able to make the argument to the American people that I should be president, and I have a debate and that kind of stuff. I don't think it's good for our country. I don't think it's good for the DNC. I think this persecution that the DNC has leveled, that people see that as unfair. Americans just viscerally are saying this guy is being attacked and they're, you know, it's moving huge numbers of voters over to him because they're pissed at what the DNC is doing.
Yeah.
It's also terrible for America, who are supposed to be the exemplary democracy around the world. This is what they do in, you know, in banana republics.
Yeah.
You don't want to run against the guy because he's popular. So you get a judge to throw him out.
Yeah.
That's a great comparison.
And, you know, it's not America.
Yeah.
And, they're doing the same thing to me. They're trying to make sure that nobody can vote for me, rather than having President Biden come out and say, here's why I think I should be a good president.
Yeah.
And here's why I think you shouldn't be. And let's have that discussion.
It's just so refreshing, as always, when you hear someone just tell the truth. And of course, he is telling the truth. And remember, the Kennedy name was synonymous with the Democrat Party, really, until just a few months ago, when he finally left the Democrats because he saw that deep corruption. You can see he's going out of his way not to say that the Democrats are so much worse than the Republicans. He's like, how do you quantify that? But he knows the Democrats are worse than the Republicans. The Republicans, when the Republicans had their insurgent in 2015, it was an orange man named Donald Trump. The party maybe didn't like him, right? The powers that be at the party certainly didn't like him. The old guard didn't like him, but they didn't change any of the rules to stop him. They didn't try to kick him off the ballots. They had a proper primary process and he won and they accepted it. Now, someone may be watching this going, well, now the Republican Party is sort of in shambles and it's hard to know what it is and all that stuff. That may well be true, but the point is they weren't corrupt in a way that they stopped an insurgent from taking over. The Democrats have absolutely done that. The Democrats not only did it with RFK by making sure he can't be in ballots and can't campaign in certain states during primaries and all of this craziness, but they also did it to Bernie Sanders. Right? Years ago, Bernie Sanders was the insurgent candidate, and then Biden cut all of the deals with Gay Pete and Kamala and Elizabeth Warren right before Super Tuesday, right? So we just had Super Tuesday 2 days ago. You remember it from 5 years ago when Biden just basically just everyone disappeared, got out of the way for Biden. They all cut their deals. Pete became transportation secretary, whatever deal they got, moved on. So yes, I think we can say, I appreciate him trying to be somewhat fair, but yes, the DNC is definitely more corrupt than the RNC. The DNC also has superdelegates, which the RNC does not have, meaning that the DNC at the convention could decide to just override the people if that is what they choose. We shall see. I got two more of RFK from you because he continued talking about how the Dems are trying to stop him from running.
Democrats kind of seem, from a distance, more crooked. Is the Republicans didn't seem to want Trump in 2016. They could not stop him in the primary. He just destroyed everybody. It seemed like, on the flip side with Hillary and with you in 2024, it's like, we don't want this guy, this person, to win, Bernie in 2016, you in 2024. We're just going to have superdelegates, and then we're going to get our person in there, and that's what it's going to be.
I think that's right. And also the fact that he won't give me Secret Service protection, you know, that's another kind of weaponization of the federal agencies to help him win.
Who is that guy?
He's got Ted Cruz's nephew.
I'm just joking. He's strapped, right?
He's strapped. Right? Very much so.
He didn't like that. You look nothing like him. You look nothing like him at all.
He's making sure you guys don't make a lunch at me.
Fair enough.
But, I have Gavin DeBecker, associates, who's giving me protection. It's really, you know, good, but it's very expensive. So a third, one out of every $3 I raise is going to this. And it's not fair. I could be using that, you know, able to use that to make the argument.
You know, interestingly, the day that I did the live event, which we aired on the channel with RFK in LA, which was probably about 4 or 5 months ago or so, that day, someone had scaled the wall of his house. He was not home. His wife, Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm, was home. And this is a bit of a problem. And yes, it is a type of weaponization. He is a legitimate candidate, if in name only, but it's not in name only. He's a legitimate candidate because right now he's polling somewhere between 15 and 25%. And the other guys you know, they're floating in that high 30 area. So it's not as if he's just some nobody. Also, when you think of the Kennedy name, you can think of several assassinations. So it's like, why would the Democrats not at least do that? And the fact that he has to give a third, I think, did he say a third? It was a third is what he said, right? He has to give a third of the money that people donate to him for security. And that Gavin DeBecker guy who he mentioned, I've spoke to those guys in terms of security. They are insanely expensive. They're basically the best in the world. But does that seem right? It's just another layer of how the machine keeps people out. I just wanted to throw to one more of RFK, because here he is talking about Ukraine and NATO and giving some insight into sort of how this whole thing has just become a really big money laundering operation.
When we bring a new nation into NATO, then the first part of that contract is that that new nation has to conform its weapons purchases to NATO specifications, which means they have to buy their weapons from Northrop Grumman, General Dynamics, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and Boeing.
That's close.
And all of those companies are owned by BlackRock. And BlackRock is, you know, the big donor.
So they're incentivized to expand NATO because the only way that they can increase their profits if they get more countries that have signed up.
Well, it's a whole market that they now have a trap market. They can only buy from them.
It's like Starbucks selling Frappuccinos. It's like you want Starbucks everywhere. And the, oh my God.
Every coffee shop should be a Starbucks.
Yes.
Yeah. And if, so that's how do we break into a new market? There's also, you know, it's a confluence of ideological and economic incentives. If you look at what's happening on Wall Street, they're no longer going factory by factory and saying what's the production, what's the efficiency, what's the lowest cost, what's the future. They're all focusing on what is the Fed going to do this week.
All right, I get it, you get it. The whole thing is corrupt, but this point with NATO, so if you join NATO, you now basically are joining like an economic alliance as it relates to your weapons. You have to buy from certain companies. So you could see it does make sense why you would want NATO. People always want more money. You look at the books one year and you're like, all right, well, how do we make more money next year? Well, if you kept expanding NATO so that the new countries coming in had to buy the weapons from the people that are selling them to NATO because they're only allowed to do that, you could see how you'd make more money. This would also be an issue as it pertains to Ukraine because Ukraine, which obviously wants to get into NATO to have NATO's protections, the whole idea of NATO is that once a NATO nation is attacked, then NATO itself, the alliance of NATO, must respond, right? So an attack on one is an attack on all. Now, there's a real issue there for all these people that are screaming right now, let Ukraine into NATO. Well, Russia ain't going to stop. And that means then that is World War III. That is World War III the next day. We played a video a couple days ago already where Jordan Peterson basically said, we are in World War III already. We just don't realize it. But let's put that aside for a moment. I want to shift gears for just a moment before we get to the Q&A, because I played some videos of this guy, Yuval Noah Hariri, before. He is a big timer over at the World Economic Forum, talks a lot about the biomedical state and sort of the AI, the jump that we're making into AI and all of that stuff. Here's an interesting compilation. It was making the rounds of Yuval Noah Hariri, who's a big hero of the progressive left, by the way, because they do like authoritarian control, explaining how COVID has led us to this very interesting place of surveillance that's actually going to be under our skin. Does that seem like a problem to anyone?
And COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. We want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin. Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition? Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
All right, I want to be totally fair to him because there's a lot of scary stuff there and I will address that. But I have heard him expand on some of this stuff where he's not always directly calling for all of this stuff to happen. He's just saying it is happening. This is what governments want. This is the technology that exists. So I'm not going after him fully here, but everything that he's talking about there, well, okay, maybe it could be on the horizon. Maybe it's kind of happening now. Maybe COVID, I mean, in essence, he said we needed COVID to get this game afoot. That's all well and good, but I don't want the government under my skin. It is already a problem that we know the government coordinates with big tech to read what you're writing and listen to your conversations and shadow ban you and all of those things. But what right does the government have to know what your heart rate is or whether you're sick or not? You know, interestingly, you could connect this to why nationalized healthcare is a problem, because once you nationalize healthcare, once you just say to everybody, okay, you're all gonna pay into the system so that we could give healthcare to everybody, well, the government then does have a vested interest in going, well, wait a minute, there's this whole group of people here that never exercise, they eat all this bad food, and they're getting real sick. They're a suck on the system, right? And then there's this whole bunch of other people over here and they're healthy and they eat right and they get sun and they're outdoors and they're fit. They're living much longer. They're paying more into the system. So you could see why over time, once you have centralized control over health, healthy people and people who live right and do the right things and eat right and work out are gonna be pretty damn pissed at the fat people who don't do any of those things because you're paying into a system that you're not getting any benefit from because you're healthy. Anyway, these are all the issues of the horizon. But now I want to show you this one. This is really wild. So Yuval Noah Hariri was on Stephen Colbert yesterday, and he actually is the one that's going to make sense here. Watch Colbert. When I tell you that Colbert just gives the system what he wants. Whatever the system wants, Colbert will run cover for it. Remember his ridiculous dance during COVID, and of course Trump's a racist and all of that stuff. But here they are talking about AI. Now think of the last couple of weeks of shows that we've done here and how I've been warning you guys about AI and what we've, you know, what we've all talked about and what many people have exposed as it relates to Google Gemini, showing us that the founders were black and that Elon Musk was more evil than Hitler and a whole bunch of stuff. Here's Stephen Colbert running cover for the system.
I'm not that worried about AI. I just doesn't get my blood going to get worried about AI. I think of some positive aspects of it. I mean, I've seen how humans have handled history and not great. And so I'm ready for the, you know, big machines that make big decisions programmed by fellows with compassion and vision. You know, I'm ready for the machines to tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. Are you?
Not really. It's extremely dangerous.
Why is it
to
dangerous,
give our
though?
Power to something we don't understand?
But they're just extensions of us. I mean,
no, they're not.
Yes, they are. We made them. They're us.
Absolutely incredible. So look, I'm giving Yuval Hariri his due here, right? Like he's warning us about some stuff that he is kind of into, the biomedical state, and then here he is with a guy who's just a suck up to the machine. He's like a bitch to the machine. How could you, Stephen Colbert, having seen over the last couple weeks this Google Gemini stuff, be like, yes, I'm ready for the machines to tell us what to do? Also, was he being sarcastic when he said they'll be programmed? What did he say? Programmed with compassion and something else? It's like, there's no evidence they're being programmed with that. We have activists that are programming them to give us lies on the other side. And also this thing, and so many leftists do this, that humans, basically he was like, you know, humans haven't done pretty well. And it's like, yeah, we have. We actually have. We've eradicated diseases. We've built incredible societies. We've gone to the moon. We've done unimaginable things. We have this thing in our pocket, which has more computing power than the computers that put us on the moon in the first place. Like, we've done pretty damn well. But Colbert, because he is just, He's just an avatar. He's not really a person at this point. Like, I get it, he's a human being, I suppose. Although it wouldn't surprise me if there was a robot under there. But all he does is just go in service of the thing. And the new thing will be AI. And it's like, dude, have you ever watched a sci-fi movie? But if you thought, ladies and gentlemen, that Stephen Colbert was bad, I am going to show you something now that I think might be the, I say this every now and again, I say it every now and again, but they up themselves. They just one-up themselves. This might be the most insane thing ever said on MSNBC. This is Joe Scarborough yesterday, and they're running cover already for Joe Biden tonight because they know he's going to slur his words. And yes, they will juice him up with whatever they juice him on, and maybe he gets through it without major stammering and confusion and all of that stuff, and we'll see how tight his face is and all of that. But they're already running cover because they know he is breaking down and they know everyone can see it. So when I talk about someone that lives in service of the machine, if you think Colbert is bad, watch this with Joe Scarborough. This is shit, man.
But comparing that guy's mental state, I've said it for years now, he's cogent. But I undersold him when I said he was cogent. He's far beyond cogent. In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been. Intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not, Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This is, and I don't really, you know what, I don't really care. Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
If you know someone that watches MSNBC, clip what we just showed you right there and show them that and tell me, does that seem like news? Does that seem like analysis? Like, I don't know, Joe Scarborough, do you have a bunch of dead kids in your closet and they're back blackmailing you? Every single person in that studio behind the camera watching that crap, you, everyone knows that's a lie. It's an abject, complete 180 reversal of the truth. Something is wrong with Joe Biden. We all know it. And he's sharper than ever because he's been around 50 years and he's calmer. You know, he used to just say some stuff and now he doesn't. Well, actually, we play you videos of all the time where he starts saying something, then he forgets what he's going to say, and then he goes, oh, well, I shouldn't say that because I'll get in trouble. It's like this incredible, I don't know what that is. We need a word for it, a phrase for it. These people that shred their dignity in the name of service to something that will just replace them. I mean, that's the thing. You're just a host on MSNBC, dude, and you're just a piece of a machine that they will boot you when you don't do what they want. So I guess that is why you do it, Joe Scarborough. Like, that is why you do it. But we had a little fun with that video, and we made a little couplate. Well, take a look.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
That's some fine work there, Connor. I know. Some people don't like that word. What are you going to do? I think in this case, it's like pretty on the nose. Anywho, we are going to get to a RubenReport.locals.com community Q&A in just a second, but I want to talk to you guys about 1775 Coffee. First, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate bad coffee? Well, as you know, I, for one, really hate bad coffee, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you guys to a company revolting against crappy coffee, 1775 Coffee Company. In 1775, the world awakened to a new era, and now 1775 Coffee Company is bringing you a coffee that embodies that revolutionary spirit. Crafted with passion and precision, our beans are ethically and exclusively sourced from the finest coffee farms of Bolivia. 1775 Coffee Company's farm-to-cup journey ensures the highest quality, authenticity, and sustainability from start to finish. With each sip, your palate will recognize and appreciate the dedication and passion that goes into crafting this single-sourced brew. 1775 Coffee Company takes pride in offering customers a truly exceptional coffee experience with their premium coffee collection, but their dedication to this revolution extends beyond just the realm of taste. Safeguarding freedom of speech is now critical, which is why 1775 Coffee Company has joined forces with Rumble in defense of one of our most fundamental rights, freedom of speech. Coffee that's sure to awaken all senses, including the sense of freedom. Choose 1775 Coffee by going to 1775coffee.com/Ruben. Use code Ruben for 10% off at checkout on your first order. 1775 Coffee, brewed to perfection, crafted with revolution. And now back to me. I will have a sip of my 1775 coffee. And F you if you don't like it. Like, what, can you imagine watching that stuff? Like, they must show it in mental institutions. Like, that's it. It's just on closed circuit TV in mental institutions, just making people watch MSNBC all day, then poking them with things, putting things under their skin, giving them extra drugs, and just, like, seeing what happens to these people. Anywho, let's do it. Cathay says, now that Nikki is out, who will Trump pick for a VP? Who do you think he should pick? Well, if you listen to, like, the hardcore MAGA people, they want him to go hardcore MAGA. So they want him to go, say, Carrie Lake, or they want him to go J.D. Vance, you know, just go in that road. To me, you must widen the thing. And as I always say, you've got to get now these independents who have had it with the Democrats and the people are waking up to identity politics and all that. You've got to get them to Trump. A lot of them, especially those middle-aged, middle-class women, they have the aversion to Trump. Whether you like it or not, it's just real. This is polled to oblivion that a certain set of middle-aged, middle-class women do not like Trump. So you need to open it up. You need to do something else. I would say Tulsi Gabbard might be an interesting one. I don't know her thinking on this, but former Democrat who left the Democrat Party because of wokeness, because of identity politics, current member of the military, ran for president, was the last standing Democrat against Joe Biden. She's spectacularly good when it comes to free speech and just sort of loving America and our history and all that stuff. I think she's getting there on some Second Amendment stuff. That's one of the big ones that why conservatives generally tend not to like her. I think that would be a good one. Who else could it be? You know, it's Trump, so you just never know what the high hell he's gonna do. Does he want someone that comes off as a little more statesmanlike because he's the braggadocious one? So that's kind of what he did with Mike Pence. I mean, we shall see, but again, we're still months away from these conventions and anything can happen on any front. Again, Joe Biden's given the State of the Union tonight. It's like he could collapse right then and there. That switches everything on that side. And do they switch things on the Republican side? We are truly in uncharted waters at the moment. Deep Thoughts says, the fabric on the half of the wall behind Dave's chair looks to me to be a stripe of navy blue, maybe black or gold. This same fabric or wallpaper can be seen on many podcasts, particularly Adam Carolla. Is it some kind of soundproofing or absorber? It seems to have some kind of technical qualities. Interesting. So actually what we've done there is what you're looking at there, that is actually large format tile, large format tile is basically just like large tile that you can get, but they are completely random in the pieces that you get. So when you put them together, they're not gonna form like a fully functioning piece of art. But if you see right where my pen is here, there's a line there. Those pieces are not actually connected. But if you look at the actual lines that are in there, they are, it all looks like it's connected. And that's because my sister-in-law, who is an incredible artist, who has done much of the artwork in this studio and virtually everything in my house, she then went ahead and hand painted them so that they would match. And that's how they all match. So you can also see over here and down here, that's how it all feels like it's one thing that to you looks like fabric, but it's actually tile. So in direct answer to your question, the tile does nothing for soundproofing. Tile, and you know, tile is, it's just kind of opaque and sound's gonna bounce off it. What we have over here, this slat stuff and the slat stuff that we have down here as well, that is soundproofing slat that's got felt behind it. And Connor, can you jump to the other camera for a second? So that's all soundproofing. Kaylin also did that, which I've told you guys before, is a print that I have at my house. If you wanna check out some of her artwork and get some pieces, by the way, that are on our set, it's kaylinrosejanet.com, C-A-Y-L-I-N, rosejanet.com, and you can get great prints like we have here. And then we have soundproofing, which I can't show you fully right now, but we have soundproofing on the ceiling and the walls and all that stuff. But yeah, that is large format tile, which you can get at, I believe we got it at Florin Decor, which is all over the free state of Florida. The Eurasian says, Dave, I'm 100% Israel supporter, but when I argue with a few Hamas holes, I know about why the Jews are the good guys in the conflict. The one area I'm ignorant on and do not have a comeback for is the issue of Israeli settlements in Palestinian designated territories. What is the justification I can use? Well, my position on this is that I believe that Jews should be allowed to live everywhere in the world, just like everyone else should be allowed to live everywhere in the world. The Palestinian designated territories, there's no real such thing as that. I realize that the UN calls it that, but why should a Jew not be allowed to live in Bethlehem or Nazareth, which we now call the West Bank, but was historically Judea and Samaria? That's where the Jews were from, as I've told you guys many times. The story of Hanukkah, that every single Jew, the most secular Jew in the world, who doesn't believe in God or anything else, celebrates Hanukkah. It's the story of the Jews defending the Judean hills from the Greek invaders. So why should Jews not be able to live there now? When we were in Israel in May, we went to Judea and Samaria, and we went to the very hills. We went to the city of Shiloh and the very hills where Hanukkah took place. Before 1967, when Israel then got, they occupied this land. Well, actually, between 1948 and 1967, the West Bank was part of Jordan, and Gaza was part of Egypt. Neither of those countries want anything to do with that land anymore. So I would say to them, if some of you get into this argument, I would say to them, well, do you think Arabs and Muslims should be allowed to live in Israel? And if their answer is yes, then why shouldn't Jews be allowed to live in dispute? It's not occupied territory, it's disputed territory. The occupation of the land of Israel ended in 1948 when the British Empire left and they got the hell out of there and they said to everybody, hey, you guys deal with this. The Jews said, we'll split the land with you guys and live in peace. The Arabs, because there were no Palestinians, there was no nation of Palestine at the time, the Arabs said no. They lost a bunch of wars and they subsequently over the last 75 years keep losing wars and then keep the fight going. They could have had a state many times. I don't think they deserve a state, but they could have had it. Now it's going to be much harder to get to no matter what Biden and this administration plan on. So again, I think the easy answer on that is, well, do you think that Arabs and Muslims should be allowed to live in Jerusalem? The obvious answer to that is yes. Do you think they should be allowed to live in Tel Aviv? Of course the answer is yes. Well, then why don't you think Jews should be allowed to live in Bethlehem and Nazareth and the rest of the West Bank? And by the way, no Jews live in Gaza, and you see what the Palestinians did there. Cool Mom says, Dave, do you have any plans to have two guests with opposing views hash it out on the show? I'd love to see Jordan Peterson or Chris Rufo battle some libs. You know, it's gotten very difficult to do that. I am open to doing it. I don't wanna do those in my house anymore because there's a certain set or a certain type of person that I don't want in my house anymore. But I would do it at the local studio or we could do it digitally. It has gotten almost impossible to find people on the left that will debate. That is just true. The wokesters won't do it. They just want to shout you down and get you kicked off tech platforms. And that sliver of people who are sort of open to debate on the left, well, what happens to them? It's Tulsi Gabbard. You have to leave the Democratic Party. It's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. You have to leave the Democratic Party. I'm completely open to this. Please comment in locals. Like, give me the list of lefties that are really debating honestly. It is almost impossible to find. So I'm not opposed to it. You know, I would say that I also find a little less utility in it. I'm less interested in sitting down with, say, Chris Rufo, who is clearly right about DEI and doing great work, eliminating it from our institutions, just debating with Ibram X. Kendi. Like, we're past that debate. I think the only way we're gonna start building the right things is to say, nope, you know what? We're right, you're wrong. We've exposed this, we've talked about it for years. You guys destroyed a whole bunch of shit. We're done with this. Now we're gonna go build new things. That's kind of where I'd prefer my energy be, but I'm not opposed to it on principle. Love says, what is the status of the Locals app feature which allows subscribers to message one another privately? We're working on it. You know, as I just laid out in the ad that I read earlier, they just got the Rumble Cloud. It's basically just ready now for B2B. So there is a lot going on there. You may have seen much of the Rumble interface change. We're working on some things on the back end of Locals. Just trust me, they're working on it. I know it takes time. I appreciate everybody's patience, but that is one of the big things that I've been pushing for forever because I would love it. One of the things that I love most about the Locals app It's not just that I can communicate with you directly and we can live stream directly and you can get all my stuff ad-free and all the commercial stuff I can tell you. But I love the fact that we now know people in our community have been dating, have started doing businesses together. You guys get together even without me. We've done community meetups, all of that. It is the sense of community and social stuff that is not happening on social media, right? Because you pay a few bucks, you get in the community, you know you have like-minded people. In all of the years that we've had our locals community, I've kicked out one person for being basically just like a relentless asshole, but they're not kicked off the platform, so it's respectful of free speech. You can still be on anyone else's community. I just don't want you in mine. Like, I don't want, you know, some random person who thinks I'm a dick to come into my home. That's my policy. Patience. And for everyone else watching that's not part of Locals, please do join us. I think you will see it's worth a couple bucks to help keep us independent and the perks that you get. Shelley says, I've seen families that dress their kids the same. My mom made all our clothes and most of the outfits my sister and I wore matched, but weren't exactly the same. Did your mom dress you and your siblings the same? Do you dress the boys the same or do people buy the matching outfits? So I'm 3 years older than my brother and I'm about 9 years older than my sister. So we were kind of all doing our own things. Although my brother growing up was a faster grower than I was, I didn't grow much till sort of later high school. So a lot of times we were about the same age. So we would share stuff, basketball jerseys, that kind of thing. Did not share clothes with my sister, who's 9 years younger. We were old school back then, you know. But as for the boys, you know, Justin is a little taller than Luke right now, so they can't exactly share stuff. But, you know, it's kids, so it's like the stuff's loose enough. They kind of can, maybe except for some pajamas or, like, you know, the onesies that you're zipping up. We have a couple matching outfits for them. We try not to go too hardcore on that. I don't know. It just feels like a little matchy-matchy kind of corny to me. And we want them to both have their own just their own styles and all that stuff. So usually on the weekends, like, I'll just kind of open up the closet, and if I can get them to, like, go over there and grab stuff, I just, whatever they grab, I'll put them in, and it may not quite fit right or whatever, but yeah, we're trying to give some autonomy as it relates to that, even though they don't know exactly what they're grabbing or what we're doing with it. Cam says, Dave, I believe the Biden administration/DNC will pull an FDR stunt on VP Harris, as FDR did to Harry Hopkins. Oh, this is interesting. FDR replaced Hopkins with Truman because Truman was better liked and had no baggage that would assure a 1944 victory. The question is, who would Biden/the DNC choose? Thoughts? Well, look, having just played you that RFK clip, I would put nothing past the Democrats. It would not surprise me if they already have a plan to take Biden out and he doesn't know it. You're referencing, well, okay, they push Biden through the finish line, but they know that Kamala is a huge liability because he will not make it another 4 years for sure. So it's like, what do we do about her? Who would they choose? The problem with the Democrats and the problem with the left is there is every bit of reason to think they will just choose someone more radical. Do not forget, I never believed it. Go back in all the tapes. But what Biden was being sold to us as the sane Democrat, right? He's not one of the woke crazy people, but he has governed as a woke crazy person. He, you know, between mandates and DEI and the war and inflation and all of the stuff, he almost, in a weird way, he's worse than one of the wokesters because he still has the patina of not being a crazy wokester, on top of the fact that nobody believes that it's him driving this or that he knows what he's doing or anything else. So who would they replace him with if they felt like, okay, we can't replace Biden, that's a bridge too far, but we know that Kamala is a major liability and we can't have her being president? I mean, look, it's always the obvious one, always is Gavin Newsom. I don't know. I think he's been really banged up since that DeSantis debate. Like, if DeSantis did nothing else through that campaign, he really did major damage to Newsom, which is worth it. Who else is on the bench? Like, it's just like, who? You guys got anybody? Like, it's just a crazy clown show. Like, you're going to pick one of the Hamas caucus members? No. So who do you pick? I don't know that there's anyone left. And I think that tells you really what this party is. And that's, again, why the Republicans have an incredible opportunity. And I hope Trump will do a good job with this, to widen the party to the best of his ability and choose someone that will widen the party and not just go to the base and all of that. But we'll see. Mattiavella says, do you have a favorite drinking game you play during the State of the Union address? What's the record for most drinks in a speech? Well, I suppose we could drink every time Biden slurs, and by a minute into this thing, we're going to be slurring like Joe Biden. God, you know, actually, I'm not going to be watching it live tonight. because I'm doing an event at the Breakers in Palm Beach tonight. Real Clear Politics is giving a free speech award to Miranda Devine, to Jay Bhattacharya, and to Matt Taibbi. I'm hosting the event. It's a black tie affair. I think there might still be tickets available if you check Real Clear Politics, or I've posted it on Twitter if you want to join us. It's not cheap. I'm not being paid. I'm happy to do it. But if you want to join us in West Palm tonight, look, I would say smoke some weed. Smoke some weed, watch the thing, count the slurs, drink accordingly. But it's just going to be an utter clown show. I mean, you know, everyone watching it is just watching and waiting to see when he goes off script, when he fumbles the line or anything else. And the whole, you feel it. You've all been around grandparents or great grandparents or just other elderly people where you know they're losing what they're saying when they're saying it, and you're just hoping it doesn't get embarrassing or awkward or whatever, or that fear in their eyes that you see in him. But here we are. Joe says, if Joe Biden sends a plane full of illegal immigrants from Texas to New York, traveling at 200 miles per hour, and Eric Adams sends a different plane full of illegal immigrants from New York to California at 500 miles per hour, how many extra piles of poo will be on the streets of San Francisco by Sunday night? I was told there'd be no math. I don't have my abacus in front of me, but I see your point. And yes, they deserve everything they're getting. Did you see, we almost played it for you today. We'll get to it another day. But in New York City right now, they have brought the National Guard, so they now have soldiers in the subways. I think it started this morning. There is video of it now. So they have people. So now women are walking downstairs into the subway, and they're literally going through their pocketbooks, making sure that the women have lipstick and rouge, I suppose. Meanwhile, you've got Hamas rallies upstairs. It is so out of whack, and it ain't coming back anytime soon, in case I have not made my feelings on that clear. Elizabeth says, I'm crocheting a plushie alligator, and I need a name. Got any cool or funny ideas? Well, alligator. Right, like that's the standard alligator name. What else? Dave the alligator, Florida Freddy the gator, Gary the gator, something like that. Gator. There's something there. Gatorade the gator. Something. Phoenix, roll with me. John says, what are the chances that the Democrats accept the results of an election should Trump win without blaming anything other than their policies or trying to start civil unrest? Well, look, when Trump was president for 4 years, every day on the MSNBC and CNN, et cetera, they questioned the election. Hillary Clinton, he's an illegitimate president. They tried not to get the election certified, all of those things. Then Biden becomes president, you're no longer allowed to question elections. Putting all that aside, we also know that they unleashed Antifa and the crazy leftists onto the streets when Trump was president. Somehow, Biden's been president, and we although we have Hamas rallies on the streets, we don't have the general Antifa, we're burning down the system thing. They've combined them into this Hamas psychotic Palestinian thing. But we know they will use every tactic. I think that's one of the issues related to Trump that the most ardent Trump supporter has to think about. So let's say Trump becomes president. Well, now you got a staff with the best people possible. The question is, can he get the best people possible? And you also, whether you like it or not, have to acknowledge that they will unleash hell on our streets. Now, that's not a reason not to support Trump just because the other side's awful, but they will do it, and you have to say, okay, will he be able to marshal the National Guard? Will he have enough competent people to be able to deal with that? I don't know what the answer to that is, right? You know, when he was president, we had that summer of love when they were just burning down cities all over the place. Mainly what he did was tweet out law and order in caps. He had many, many tweets. There's like two dozen of them, just law and order in caps. Now, is it great that the president of the United States should have to send the National Guard to cities? No, I don't like that. I don't want troops wandering around our cities. But in the cities where the police will do nothing, and I would say at this point it's fairly clear that is how New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco and a bunch of the other ones work, you're gonna have no choice, right? Like, you cannot have a country where where the major cities are just basically in a perpetual state of burning down. That's gonna be a problem. So it's a good question you're asking. It's like, what will they do? And will Trump have the ability to do anything about it? I do not know. Amy says, hi, Dave. What song is your happy song? One that can boost your mood no matter how you're feeling. For sure, it's the song that we opened up all the book tour, Don't Burn This Country book tour to. It's Frankie Valli. It's Soul, Heaven Above Me. He did one disco album. I think it's from around 1977. When I saw Frankie a month ago, I told him I think it's his best song. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. He's not known as a disco guy, really. He did a lot of ballads, and then they did sort of more funky doo-wop kind of stuff in the early days, obviously, with the Four Seasons. But it's about an 11-minute song. It's called Soul, Heaven Above Me. And if it does not get you going, I just do not know what will. Also, with the kids, we listened to Baby Beluga. You know about this guy? Baby Beluga in the deep blue sea. You don't know about this guy? Oh, he's doing all kinds of stuff. It's great. It's great. Bob says, Dave, if you were to start a new hobby, what would you like to do? I think I'm going to start playing golf. What do you guys think about that? I've been thinking about playing. You play golf?
Yeah.
I feel like you play a little golf. You play golf? No? All right. I think I'm going to start playing a little bit of golf. I'm playing basketball again 3 times a week, and I've really been playing well, and my knee feels good and all that stuff. But 47, I've got a limited window on that. And I think there's a ton of golf courses down here, and I think it's time to start playing a little bit of golf. I also do want to start shooting a little bit more. That's a hobby, I would say. I want to start shooting a little bit more. Also, we've been putting in this really awesome garden, which I think they're putting the final touches on as I speak right now. And I love being out there and growing food. I love doing landscaping stuff and working with the earth and all that. But I think golf is the next one on the horizon. I'll fight you naked. That's not a hobby. That's someone's name on Locals. At what age do you think it's a good idea to get your son a puppy? I worry about him accidentally hurting the dog or vice versa, and I want him to walk the dog when he needs it. You know, that's a good question. Well, first off, I would say you don't necessarily have to get a puppy. Because if you go to your local shelter, you can get dogs that are 2 or 3 years old. They're still young. They have many years ahead of them. They might have been trained because maybe they were at a family, or they're just out of that crazy puppy mode of chewing the shoes and nibbling on everything and all that stuff. So I would say first, if you have a young kid, you might want to consider that. Of course, there is a risk there, because if they're at the shelter because they were abused, they might have some help, you know, they might have some behavioral stuff. So you want to think about that. You know, it's interesting right now with the kids and the dog, because Luke is all over Clyde all the time, pulling his tail, grabbing him, whacking him, trying to poke him in the eye. Clyde is just great. I've been so pleased, because Clyde, when we moved to Florida, he just like lost his mind. He became full on like outdoor Florida man dog, like killing lizards and birds and fighting with things everywhere. And he's just nuts. So I was a little worried about the kids, but like if one of the kids falls, he runs right up to them. He'll bark so that we know, he'll alert us. Like he's just been great. And he doesn't mind all the poking and the prodding. Every now and again, he'll try to run from them. But I would say, yeah, you may, if you have a young kid, there is definitely a bigger risk with just a young puppy that doesn't have proper nurturing. You might want to consider adopting a bit of an older dog. You could find a 5 or 6 year old dog that maybe will still have another good 7 or 8 years, that is trained, that is calm. There's just so many great dogs out there, and I'm a big proponent of adopting when at all possible. All right, guys, that is our show for today. As I mentioned, I am at this Real Clear Politics event tonight at the Breakers in West Palm Beach. Part 2 of my interview with Ashley St. Clair, all about Gen Z and immigration and tech and all of the stuff, is up across platforms right now. Full thing's already ad-free on Locals. People of the Internet is live at 1 p.m. Eastern, as always. And in acknowledgement of tonight's State of the Union address, we leave you with Joseph R. Biden.
Is this on? Yes, it is.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Who?
My name is...
And my name is...
Huh?
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Slow Joe.
My name is...
Make me say another way.
My name is...
Anyway.
My name is...
What?
What am I doing here? And Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce it right. Shanga Kawawa. I think I pronounced it correctly. If I were smart.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the postgame wrap-up every day after the show at rubinreport.locals.com.